Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Starkey off, Pomp off. So you get me. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. PM team coming up next. Who's hosting the PM team? I'm not aware.
One little Austin Bechtel.
Oh, City Limits.
That's right.
Into the big chair. All right. Well, you have that to look forward to coming up at 2 o'clock. We have been slowly but surely, as many of you have during the holiday season, making a way through a six-pack today. And I think we are on, what are we on, step four? Yeah, step four. Game last night, Seahawks 6, Bears 3. Caleb Williams is ass at quarterback, dude. He stinks. I mean, what is happening? I thought this guy was supposed to be the slam dunk number one pick, the next great one. Is it too early to start talking, to throw the bust word out there for Caleb Williams? Is it too early for that? Can we not do that in a rookie season? Or is it? Have we seen enough now where it's fair to say that Caleb Williams is not the generational talent that he was hyped up to be?
Peyton Manning had a pretty brutal rookie season, right?
He did. He led the league in interceptions as a rookie. You're right. And Caleb Williams this year, 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. It's not, it doesn't look bad, but it looks bad. Like, I don't know how to explain that any better. They're not winning games. They have not won a game since, October 13th or something like that. They stink. They're really, really bad as a team. They were not well coached. And you look back at his numbers, and it's not like the numbers look terrible. Against Detroit, 334 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He runs for 34 yards, like putting up stats. But when I watch him, I think this guy is not good at football. He is not a good NFL quarterback. Even when the numbers sometimes do show up, like they played Minnesota, lost in overtime. He had 340 and 2 touchdowns, and he ran for 33 more in that game. There's been a couple of games where you see it, but then way too many games like last night where you're like, what is this guy looking at?
Has he shown enough like upside or promise, you think, potentially, if they were to, let's say, get Ben Johnson as their head coach for next season, or Liam Cohen with the Buccaneers, if they get the right guy, someone better than Matt Eberflus?
Well, they got
the guy leading that team.
You got to get the right guy. You got to get a guy that can develop quarterbacks, and then you probably need to bring in somebody else that's accomplished with working with quarterbacks to sort of focus in with him as well. Boy, do they look silly and you can't blame them for it, because I'm sure Caleb Williams was the number one name on Washington's board as well. But what Washington got with Jaden Daniels and what they got with Caleb Williams is looking like the Grand Canyon at this point, particularly given where those two teams are.
And you could argue that the Bears have the better group of pass catchers for Caleb Williams Moore,
yeah,
Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze, and what, Terry McLaurin is Washington's main receiver.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not a lot of guys who are up there with DJ Moore and Romo Dunze.
Right. I mean, yeah, Moore, Allen, Adunze, and then Kmet at tight end. They've got some options out of the backfield with, you know, DeAndre Swift. I mean, it's not a bad compliment. Maybe their offensive line is just that terrible. I don't know. But when I watch Caleb Williams, even though he has 19 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, he's 14th in the league in passing, I look at a guy who just does not have it. I don't think he's a leader either. He's got a QBR. You know, ESPN does their QBR. His 45.9 is the QBR. That's 30th in the NFL. That's not good. How about this, too, with Caleb Williams last night? On pass attempts beyond 7 yards, Joel, 1 for 9 with an interception on pass attempts beyond 7 yards.
That's not gonna win you ball games in the NFL, Josh.
I mean, it's not like Seattle is a terrible team, but that's not the Legion of Boom over there anymore either. And they made him truly, truly look like a rookie and not a good one. It's probably not time to throw out the bust word on Caleb Williams, but boy, oh boy, is it starting to get close. We talked with, as Joel, hit the button. Thank you. We talked with Nick Kostos about the MVP race, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I want to dive into that a little bit farther. I'm giving it to Allen right now, but I will say the last week of the season and that final impression, it could theoretically change things for me. I don't think it will because I don't, you know, the last couple of weeks here, the Bills are not playing anybody all that tough. But things could change here. What the one area where I am interested, what if Joe Burrow throws for 5 touchdowns and no interceptions tomorrow, throws for 5 touchdowns, no interceptions against the Steelers? What if he is up around 5,000 passing yards and 48 touchdowns to 8 interceptions this year, and they get into the playoffs? Does Joe Burrow, given how bad their defense is, does he suddenly throw himself into that conversation with 2 games to play? Because right now, Lamar Jackson, you know what he does on the ground. He's unbelievable on the ground. But 39 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, nearly 4,000 passing yards this year. Josh Allen, 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 3,500 passing yards. Lamar Jackson's numbers are better. They are better than Josh Allen's. But, and Nick Kostos said this, it just feels like a year where they want to give Josh Allen the MVP. Josh Allen has 514 rushing yards. He has scored 11 touchdowns on the ground this year, whereas Lamar Jackson has 852 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns this season. So more yards for Jackson rushing, more touchdowns for Allen rushing. Yeah, when I think MVP, I think Josh Allen, but the numbers are also kind of telling me that it's Lamar. And I will say this, if Burrow really goes off in these last 2 weeks and they make the playoffs, I do think that you have to throw Joe Burrow into that conversation if he goes off in these last 2 weeks. 39 touchdowns, 8 picks is really, really good. And the other guy I think that's getting overlooked potentially in all of this right now, and his interception number's a little high, but Sam Darnold is going to be comeback player of the year. But he at least deserves to, you know, if we're putting together the Heisman ceremony with NFL MVPs, Sam Darnold deserves to get invited to the Heisman ceremony, so to say. Because what he has done and the impact that he has had on that Minnesota team, nobody saw that coming. And it has been transformational for a team that I thought would not be very good this year. And instead, they're one of the better teams in football. And the Vikings look like they, I mean, look, if they do well here in the last 2 weeks, they got Packers, Lions coming up. You win those two games, you're talking about a 15-2 Minnesota team. Now they got the Packers at home, and then you go to the Lions the last week of the year. It's possible. Tough road, but it's possible to go win 15 games with Sam Darnold as your starting quarterback. Joel, Allen, Jackson, or someone else for MVP right now?
I think it ends up being Allen, and I think what you and Nick both mentioned, where Lamar had it last year, he's had it before, Josh Allen is probably overdue at this point to win it. So I would say, even if Jackson becomes a little bit more deserving than Allen, I still think it ends up being Josh Allen's to lose.
I would agree. All right, our final six-pack beverage. These are delicious soda pops, by the way. We're not encouraging, even though it is the holiday season. I think we had somebody earlier that was had maybe hit the eggnog, the leftover eggnog, when they said that that was the best call of the day. And by best, I mean worst. Was it Kim? Is that who it was? Kim? She
yes.
suggested that the Steelers have been getting paid off to lose games. Bold take by Kim. And also pretty ridiculous. Pete Carroll being rumored for NFL head coaching jobs. Yes, that Pete Carroll. USC, Seattle, so on. Pete Carroll is getting up there in age. And by getting up there, I mean he's 73. The Bears are wanting to meet with him, according to the New York Post. But Carroll is keeping his options open right now. If you're 73 years old, I don't know, man. Like, how many years do you really have left coaching? And not that Pete Carroll's a bad coach, but you're 73. He doesn't look 73. I'll give him that. Doesn't act 73. I'll give him that as well. But you're 73, and if you have a chance, you know, to get an NFL head coaching job, good for you. But it's making me wonder now, with his options apparently open, Joel, the other jobs that are open right now, Bears, Saints, Jets, those are the three jobs that are open. Does Pete Carroll make sense for any of those three franchises right now?
I think maybe the New York Jets would be the best one if I had to take a guess. They could use a quarterback with, you know, Aaron Rodgers probably out the door. They've got a really good defense. They're a team who's, you know, they're a borderline playoff team. Some people think they could have reached the Super Bowl when they had Aaron Rodgers. So when you've got that, like, nearly that complete of a team,
yeah,
maybe you do need a prestige head coach like Pete Carroll.
What's interesting about that is, you know, Carroll was the head coach of the Jets in 1994 and then went to San Francisco the following year and was their defensive coordinator. He was fired after 1 year in New York. Wouldn't that be something if, what would that be, 30 years later?
Those would be quite the headlines.
And in his mid-70s? I mean, they kicked the tires right on Belichick, the Jets did. So clearly age ain't nothing but a number to the New York Jets. Good for them. But man, oh man, Pete Carroll in New York? That's a really interesting thing, because Carroll seems like a guy that was really friendly with the media in Seattle. You know, like, he didn't seem to let a lot get under his skin, but how does that play in New York, where you're just under the microscope constantly? Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We might have a couple little sidecars to the six-pack, if you will, a couple shooters out there. So we'll dive into that on the other side of the break. It is an anniversary of a monumental Pittsburgh sports moment. And I put it up there probably within my top five favorite Pittsburgh sports moments. And today is the anniversary of that event. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Josh Rountree in for Pomp and Joe this afternoon. Pomp and Joe Show, fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Today is an anniversary that I think we should celebrate every year. And I can play one clip for you here, and you'll know what it is.
Mario, of course, is only 35, and he's out there. Yager, Herdina, Yager with it. Lemieux in the middle, Lemieux!
Baby, this is priceless. All Mario Lemieux had to do was raise his stick when he got open, and Yager spotted him right away. He said at the end of the first period, now if I can only get my hands back. They're back. Yager made this play happen.
Chills. Chills listening back to that. Mario Lemieux's return to the ice, the great call by the infamous John Barbaro in the background as well, the Lemieux and the fans yelling it, Yager's amazing turn and pass, and Mario back in that game. I think if you grew up here, if you grew up a Penguins fan, if you were in the area at that time, you could understand how big of an event that was, how big of a night that was, how big of a moment that was. And I think that's one of the events. I put it up there very, very near, like the 13 wild card game, you know, Steelers Super Bowl wins, the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup against Detroit. Like, I put that up there in that ledge of memorable sports moments. And it wasn't a playoff win, it wasn't a championship win, but it was just a special night, and I'll never forget driving through the city and seeing the Civic Arena and the big 66 lights lit up on the side of the igloo. I will never forget that night, that moment, and how special that was as a young sports fan. And yeah, like I saw them win three cups after that. Those were amazing. But that's a night that I think a lot of folks will never forget. And so 24 years ago tonight was the return of the great one, Mario Lemieux. Paul Alexander just stopped in and said that he was actually one of the reporters and kind of the main reporter who broke that story, that he got tipped off about Mario skating and essentially broke the story. So pretty special, pretty awesome remembrance. 24 years later, Mario still resonates here. And obviously, you know, I think because of Mario, you know, Sidney Crosby is here and the franchise is still here. And his impact, I think, went far greater than what he did just on the ice during that stretch of time. Very, very cool. Joel, you had another sidecar to our six-pack as well, and that's Kenny Pickett starting for the Eagles. I mean, what happens in this town if Pickett goes out there against Dallas on Sunday and just straight up cooks?
I don't know, man.
What is the reaction in Pittsburgh if Pickett lights up the Cowboys, who, by the way, they beat the Steelers? If Pickett goes out there, there are going to be just from the woodworks, from the bushes. They kind of went Homer Simpson on us and faded into the bushes. But the Kenny Pickett people, there's probably people out there that would say that I was involved in that group as well. I'm a Pickett fan. I liked Kenny. I thought Kenny got somewhat of a raw deal here while also admitting that his play wasn't good enough. And maybe things did not end as cleanly as they should have for both sides. But if Pickett goes out there, it really has all happened a week too late. Or 2 weeks too late. Because if Pickett had played against the Steelers, that would have been an unbelievable storyline here late in the NFL season.
You might go out there and throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns.
Or four yards and four interceptions.
That's right.
I don't know.
It's no in between.
I don't know. But he's going to play the Cowboys. The Cowboys, you heard, if you listened earlier, Nick Kostos talking about the that Cowboys-Eagles game. And even with Kenny Pickett, he's still massively on the Eagles. CeeDee Lamb shut down. And Kenny Pickett a chance to go out there and kind of prove himself here late in the season. Wouldn't that be something if Pickett goes out there and just has a day against the Philadelphia or against the Dallas Cowboys as a member, his first ever start with his hometown team, and they're going to take on the Cowboys, their biggest rival, coming up on Sunday. All right, well, that's it for the six-pack, and the sidecars have been consumed. Hopefully you're still with us. We're still going. Austin Bechtold, City Limits, is going to host the PM team with Dom, intern Dom, riding alongside as well. I'm sure there will be no shortage of hot takes coming out in the PM team coming up, which would kind of fit right into the mold of the PM team. But I do want to finish the show with this, a look at the Steelers, where they are now, and is it maybe important that we keep this season and we put this season in a little bit of perspective as well? Have we maybe expected too much late in the season from this team? I'll tell you what I mean when we come back as we finish off the show. I'm Josh Rountree in for Pomp and Joe. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Want to finish the show with this today. I know a lot of folks are upset right now with what's going on with the Steelers. And believe me, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you shouldn't be upset. In fact, I'm probably maybe going to make you more upset. So that's just how it goes. But I will say this, as we look back on this year, and the word collapse gets thrown out there, and I've said it myself, I do start to wonder a little bit, was this team really that good in the first place? Let's go back to this start of the season and run things down. First week, they play at Atlanta. They don't score a touchdown. Kirk Cousins on the other side looks like he's 80 years old in that game. He's eventually gotten benched. Atlanta is 8-7, clinging for playoff life right now. And they've had to replace their starting quarterback with a rookie. Then they went to Denver. They win at Denver. Look, back-to-back road games winning. Okay, that's tough to do to start your season. They go to Denver. It's Bo Nix's second game ever. They score one touchdown in that game. And they hold off the Broncos at the end. Chargers come in the following week. Justin Herbert banged up. He gets more banged up during the course of that game. Fields plays pretty well, 245 yards. Runs for a touchdown, throws for a touchdown. Taylor Heinicke has to replace for a while Herbert in that game. Steelers win. Denver, LA right now, two playoff teams. So I can't knock it that much, but it's not like the Steelers saw either of those teams at their best. The following week, they get cooked by Joe Friggin Flacco. He comes in for Anthony Richardson, who got hurt. He throws for two touchdowns, Flacco does, and he looks like the Flacco of old, and the Steelers lose a game that they should not have lost to Indy. The following week, they lose at home to Dallas in primetime, and the defense blows it late. The week after that, they beat Aiden O'Connell. I think they might have got a stiffer test from Jerry O'Connell, and I'm not even totally sure who Jerry O'Connell is. Vegas, 3-12. They lost 8 in a row after that game against the Steelers. They play the Jets. Robert Saleh, their coach, got fired. The Jets stink. They played the Giants the week after that. They stink even more than the Jets do. They're the worst team in football. And that was kind of a game there at the end. The Steelers had to make a play late in order to win that game. The following 2 weeks are the best of their season. The win at Washington, where they get the late touchdown from Mike Williams. And the win at home against Baltimore. However, in that game, they fail to score a touchdown. The defense plays well. The narrative then is, you know, they own Lamar Jackson, etc. But I'm not knocking the wins at Washington, at Baltimore. Those are their best two wins of the year by a considerable margin. But then they come back off of that. Short week in Cleveland. Their defense starts getting gashed in the passing game by a guy who is essentially on his last leg as a starter in Jameis Winston. They get carved up by Joe Burrow. A lot of teams have, but they find a way to win that game. Can't really fight that one too much. They score 44 points. Wilson throws for over 400 yards. They win at Cincinnati. They bounce back. Okay. Washington, Baltimore, Cincinnati, their three best wins. They beat Cleveland. They stink. And then we all know what happened the last 3 weeks where they have been outclassed, really, by Philly, Baltimore, and Kansas City. I just look back at this year and think they have 10 wins, but three of them are like respectable, I guess. And not to say that you take any win for granted in the NFL, because it's not easy to beat anybody. And they are what their record says they are. And they do have 10 wins. But, you know, earlier in the show, we talked to Ray Fittipaldo about the struggles of the defense of late. And he made a great point. Go back really after the bye week. Their defense started to leak oil a little bit. Washington, Jaden Daniels got to them. They played much better against Baltimore, but they come back and there's big blown coverages against Cleveland. That 4th and 5 with Jerry Jeudy. Big blown coverages against Cincinnati. Philly, Baltimore, Kansas City all get after them as well. Maybe this team is reminiscent of the 2020 group in that, yeah, they started well. Yeah, they won double-digit games by early December. But maybe they're just not that good of a team. I thought they were better. I thought after the game against Baltimore in particular, the 18-16 win against Baltimore, I thought at 8-2 that they had a chance of really doing something special. Even after the game against Cleveland when they got to 10-3, when they won that home game against Cleveland, I thought, okay, even if you win two of the next four with Philly, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati, you have a chance at maybe doing something kind of special here. That feeling has gone away for me entirely here in the last 3 weeks. And now I'm wondering, can they beat Cincinnati next week? Can they win a playoff game? I'm putting that all at like a 50-50 proposition. And that is not a good place to be, given the fact that just 19 days ago, less than that actually, 13 days ago, this team was sitting at 10-3 with a comfortable two-game lead atop the AFC North. That is What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. Check out 0% financing on all 24 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Today, cloudy skies, a hint of sun, a high of 50. Good enough golf weather. Good enough for me, at least. Rain expected for tonight. Low of 43, temps in the 60s for the weekend. City Limits, Austin Bechtold is going to take you through the PM team. Dom DiTommaso is going to join him. Intern Dom spinning on the production side of things. Thanks so much to Ray Fittipaldo. Thanks to Nick Costos as well. Appreciate those guys coming on. And thanks to Joel Nelson for his work behind the glass. I'll be back on with you Monday evening, 6 o'clock, right here on The Fan. This has been the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Josh Rountree. Have a good one. Enjoy your weekend on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.